Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave Solomon. Once again, a pleasure to hear your voice and wonderful to have folks joining us live or later in the archives because, you know what, once this show is out there, anybody can tune in about, I'd say 15, 20 minutes after the show completes at 4 o'clock Eastern time and be able to pick up the whole thing. That's the beauty of Blog Talk Radio. There's my plug-in. I'm Trish Hennessy, and look, it's a pleasure to welcome this gentleman today. You know what? I was telling Warren while we were on the phone just a few minutes before showtime that it's really different when you see an artist that you know is going to go places in the clubs. One is from Baltimore, Maryland, so I would get a chance to see him in every which way possible, just being one of the many fans and friends in the audience at these various venues around town. And now it's a completely different story. Let me just tell you that Warren Wolf is the buzz of the jazz scene these days. Not only a vibraphonist of rare proportion, but also a multi-instrumentalist and a writer and someone who is considered now to be, and I know I'll embarrass him a little bit, but maybe not, the go-to guy if somebody wants to have their own project enhanced. With that, I give you Warren Wolf. Hey, Warren.
Hey, Tris, how you doing?
I'm doing
really
good.
You
Oh, come on now. This is the trick. Every time I turn around, somebody is mentioning your name. And, you know, at this point in Baltimore, and it's pretty rare that in Charm City, with everybody who's so jaded at this point, people go, oh, yeah, Warren, oh, he's doing good, isn't he?
Well, that's a good thing. You know, things have been really sweet lately, so I'm glad people are talking about me. I need to keep that up, so.
Oh, yeah, and Wolfgang, speaking of sweet, it's doing really well. Are you tripping at this point?
I am, because, you know, when we first recorded the record, I heard from certain people who won't be mentioned, you know, they were saying, you know, I don't see how this classical stuff is going to fit on the record. I don't see how this is going to work and yada, yada, yada. But I'm looking at the reviews from the record, and I'm just like, okay, y'all need to just listen to my vision or watch my vision because people love it. You know, it's not about
Absolutely.
Just straight-ahead jazz nowadays anymore. Now, I mean, at least for me, I'm more about creating those pretty melodies that people can remember. You know, jazz is already complicated enough. So I wanted to add those melodies from my classical background into the music. And you see what it's doing. People are just loving it. You know, the band is out working a lot. So we're having a great time.
I am so glad to hear you say that because, you know, you went to Peabody for, what, 8 years? So
yeah, somewhere around that, about eight to 9 years.
That's a big deal. And, you know, you started out so young. I love the idea that here you are, 3 years old. I don't know what you started on first, whether it was piano or drums or marimba or vibes, but Dad really had a hand in teaching you, and I'm just thrilled that you started that early because you're still so young. And then to have done a project like Wolfgang that incorporated that classical training, that vibe that you always were geared to anyway in the way of jazz, and were able to turn it into, pardon me, but a hybrid of sorts and your own take on what you think is great music. It's just really refreshing, Warren. I'm just so tickled for you, honestly.
Oh, thank you. You know, like you said, it definitely is important for me to let that other side of myself. And, you know, there are other musical sides of myself that will be out on future records, you know, that a lot of people just don't know about yet. So it was very important for me to get that classical music out, you know, so people can understand, you know, there's more than just a jazz musician in me. So, you know, here we go. That's Wolfgang for you for the most part. I mean, I can always talk about the record a lot more, too, which we will. So.
Well, here's the thing. You had a very concrete plan about Wolfgang. You wanted to, and I'm sure Mac Avenue Records is thrilled about this. And by the way, special shout out to Mark Reaney. You have an amazing customer service support team at Mac Avenue. Are you aware of that, Warren?
Yes, I am. Mark Reaney, all the people at DL Media. I mean, my whole team is just great, down to my manager, to my engineer, to the, you know, everybody's just been helping me out and just been very sweet to me. They've been just excellent. So I love everybody for it. So,
well, here's what makes it easy for those people to flock to you, because you are very organizational. You had a goal with your first Mac Avenue record, and that was to get people buzzing about the name. This time mm-hmm. around with Wolfgang, you wanted to make sure that people were aware of your writing skills. Is that the truth?
Mm-hmm. That was definitely the truth. The first record, titled Warren Wolf, you know, I wanted to just show everybody, like you said, just like, okay, watch out, basically. Just watch out for this guy. He can play. He can play his tail off. Just look out for him. He's someone to watch. And I think I made that statement with that record. And then on Wolfgang, of course, I'm still going to have a little bit of, you know, there'll be a few moments on the CD where it's like, wow, he's really going for it. He's going, you know, he's really playing hard. But I wanted to just show that I can be laid back a little bit, you know, be a softer side to my playing. You can also hear the compositions more, you know, just a combination of all. So eventually in the future, like I said, you might hear another record where you're going to actually hear a combination of that, a combination of, you know, the compositions. Plus, I'm just going to be just playing very hard like I normally would do. So, you know, you got to just change it up for everybody every now and then. You don't want everything to always be the same for the most part.
Oh, you're absolutely on that, because people can pick up on that. I don't know where artists got the notion that their audiences, their fans, would insist on the same kind of project as they heard on the last album. That's nonsensical. It's like saying to your audience, God, you're so stupid, you don't expect anything creative from me.
pretty much. And that's not what you're going to get with me. So you're always going to get something a little different. You're going to be like, wow, he came out of nowhere with that one. So I can already tell now, like, I mean, we're not there yet. I'm not recording a new CD at the moment, but when that happens and when it comes out, I can already hear some people going to be like, wow, we didn't expect that from him.
You've got some amazing people. So on this CD with you, here would be the question. Would you be so different in your next project that you would think about using other people? Because, Lord have mercy, the personnel on Wolfgang is pretty formidable. Woo! you know.
Yes. That was another one of my goals. I can explain that, too. But to answer your question, I plan on focusing from here on out with my band. Maybe one or two special guests, but no, I just want to pretty much focus with my band, you know, give other younger musicians, you know, here I'm talking younger people and I'm young myself, but I just want to give younger musicians more of a chance to shine through. A lot of musicians nowadays, they tend to want to get the quote-unquote all-stars for their CDs in terms of CD sales and things like that. But eventually, it's like people, I believe they start to catch on to that too. And even though as much as I love all those guys too, there's nothing against them, but, you know, I just want to go ahead and concentrate on with my own band, because then you'll truly be able to hear my own sound. Because with my band, we play together all the time. When you get the all-stars together, we don't play together all the time. It just looks really nice on CD to have those guys down. Now, if you play your cards right, you can get look up and get something that really sounds good. Which, if you listen to my record, the All Stars and Christian McBride, Benny Green, and Lewis Nash, I had a plan for that because right before we recorded the record, that trio was actually on tour with the Monterey Jazz All Stars for about 1 month. So they've been playing together for years, at least 20 years now. But for them to play together for a month straight, I already knew that they would be fresh playing together. They will already know where each other is going musically and things like that. So
right.
That was the reason why I got those three together, because they were already on tour. Then they came into my studio project, and then they went out for an additional 2 months after my studio project. And the second band, and Aaron Goldberg, Billy and Chris. Now, Billy and Chris, they play with me all the time. Aaron Goldberg, he was the newest person to be on the CD, but he's the type of pianist he can fit in any situation. So
I
that made that part easy right there. Yeah. And then the last person, Aaron Deal on duo, you know, I play in his group, in his quartet. So that was just a natural feeling right there because he comes from the jazz and classical background like myself. So,
yes.
You know, this recording was very natural and easy for me. There were some hard parts recorded, but, you know, it was a very natural feeling. Very natural for me to record the CD.
And speaking of easy and comfortable, the opposite of that is challenging. And this is a big feather in your cap because now you are a member of the SF Jazz Collective, following in the footsteps
mm-hmm.
of Bobby Hutcherson and Stefan Harris. How does that feel, Warren?
That is very overwhelming. It's exciting. It's challenging. I'm a tiny bit, and I really never get nervous. I'm just a tiny bit nervous because I'm the new guy, and I don't want to come in messing up, which I probably will not do. I don't really mess up too often in this music. But it's a pleasure for the most part. That's the first word that comes to mind when I think about the SF Jazz Collective. To be able to play with I'll just blur the number out right now. I'll just say 9 of the best musicians in the world. We're playing music that's in tribute to a lot of artists, from Thelonious Monk, Horace Silver, to even contemporary R&B stars like Stevie Wonder. We'll be playing a lot of music for this coming season. We're doing a tribute for the past 10 years that they've been together. So after this season, which is when we'll be going back to writing our own music for the band. But it'll be a pleasure to go out with these guys. I actually start with them next Monday, and we'll be on the West Coast for about an entire month. And then I think we'll make our way east and Midwest come next year in mid-March and mid-April. So it'll be a great time to be out there with those guys.
Your whole world is just changing so quickly. It's kind of mind-blowing. And here's the thing. Let me ask you this, because we know so many of the same people in Baltimore. Do people approach you differently now? Do you find out that the attitude has changed? It's what used to be, "Hey, Warren, how you doing, buddy?" It's now, hey, Warren, hey, how you doing? Are you picking that up?
I would say I get that from the people who really don't know me as a person. Because I see certain people when they tag me and things on social network, or if they see me in person, they'll be like, "Oh, wow, that's Warren Wolf over there. And that's, you know, he's on Mack Avenue. He plays with Christian McBride. Oh, can we get a," you know, they kind of bowing down to me like I'm some king of the world. But to me, I'm still just an ordinary person. Just come up to me and say, "Hey, you know, I'm still the type of guy, yes, I have a record deal, I'm with Mack Avenue, I'm touring all over the world and, you know, doing all these great things, but you can still find me just hanging out at the bar at the Caton Castle, you know, just eating with some of the people who are just hanging out there." The people who do know me, a lot of my good friends, you know, they just come up to me like it's, you know, like they've known me forever. It's no big thing, so.
Right. Right. Well,
I picked up a little bit.
I know that you do, because I know some of those folks, and when people understood that you were going to be on the show, people that I normally know and respond to me in a particular way, people who live in Baltimore or D.C., actually have called or messaged me saying, "Oh, hey, could you tell Warren hello for me?"
Oh, wow.
That's so funny. Yeah. But
okay,
even playing,
I'll say hello right now.
And I'm not even going to say the names because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But you've been playing for so long that all of this must seem to you, to a large extent, like it's second nature. Of course you would expect this because you've put the work into it ever since you were a little guy, right?
Yeah. Ever since the age of three, you know, I got to give it up to both of my parents. You know, my mom, she was the one that at least drove me around to a lot of my concerts and drove me to Peabody when I was a kid and things like that, sat outside and, you know, just helped me, you know, just get a mental understanding of the game. And then my dad was the one that actually was really behind the scenes and helped me prepare for all the stuff from the long hours of practice and, you know, 90 minutes per day, every day for about 17 years. I'm sorry. Yeah,
wow.
17 years pretty much where we practice, taking me out in the nightclubs when I was in high school at the Baltimore School for the Arts, you know, when I'm not supposed to be in clubs, but he took me anyway. You know, it's just a lot. You know, I got to give it up to both of my parents. I've been doing this since the age of three, and, you know, it's a long journey. You know, at one point, I really didn't know I was going to be a musician because, to be honest, I really hated it at one point. I just happened to be good at it, but I didn't like it. But when I got to middle school, I started, you know, how my students, how my classmates, how they liked what I was doing, and I got a nice applause. And I said, well, you know, maybe I can keep going if it's like that. So, you know, I just kept it going, and, you know, it's been a very long, interesting journey.
Now, that's interesting that you would say that. You didn't really enjoy it at one point. Would you rather have been doing something else when you were going through those thoughts?
Oh, yeah. What I wanted to be as a child, and really, it wasn't, you know, like most kids nowadays, what they see on TV, they want to play basketball, football, baseball, things like that. But what I wanted to be, what I wanted to do as a child, I wanted to be either a fireman, or I wanted to be an astronaut.
Oh, man.
Those are the two things that I really wanted to do, but it just so happens my father, he didn't say no, but he just put me on that goal of playing music. So, you know, that kind of, those are my dreams. They were kind of out the window right there. I was like, oh, well, I can't do those two things anymore. So, but, no, I really didn't like it because, I mean, I was a normal kid. Don't get me wrong. I didn't just practice all day. It wasn't like that. You know,
yeah.
Of course, I went to school, and when I came home, I watched my cartoons like any other kid would do. But then 5:30 came around, and I had to practice 5:30 to 7 o'clock. And after that was over, I'd probably go outside, you know, and, you know, play with a lot of my friends. We would play, like, touch football and things like that, you know, and then come in, eat your dinner, do your homework, and then do it all again the next day. So it was fine. It's not like I was crying, practicing. I just did it because my dad told me to do it. I was like, all right, well, I have no choice. But eventually, I grew to love it.
It's because, for sure, you know this now, he knew that this was your big gift. And my God, it's such a big gift that if people don't know this, Warren Wolf has had some pretty sizable, powerful influence in his corner, like NPR, New York Times, the head of Blue Note Records is in love with what you do. And then Gary Burton, who was on Hybrid Jazz not that long ago, could not say enough about you. And actually, what you just said, Warren, you and he were very similar in your upbringing because Gary didn't play all the time either. He didn't want to. He wanted to do other things in his life. And maybe that's why he feels so connected to you. He pretty much said that when he lays down his mallets, he's passing them on to you.
And that's such an honor, honestly, to hear that from you. He actually told me this also. A couple of weeks ago, we actually played at the Detroit Jazz Festival, and we played one song together. It was a tune he recorded with Chick Corea called Senior Mouse. And I played the marimba, and he played the vibes. And he told me after the show, he said, I love your playing. You know, he gave me a copy of his book that he just released. And he said, Warren, you're the king of the vibes. I don't see myself playing into my 80s because, you know, he's celebrating his 70th birthday right now on tour. And he said, you're going to be the one to really, like, just take my spot and take the vibes to a whole new level. So to hear that from Gary and to hear what you're saying, what Gary said, it makes me think I have a future in this business.
Yeah, I think so. And this is actually to allay any fears that you may have now that you're going to start on Monday with the SF Jazz Collective. Don't even think twice because, look, you really are garnering such praise for Wolfgang, and it's such a cohesive kind of musical project. I love the fact, by the way, that you included Frankie and Johnny on this. What a trip!
Man, Frank, I love that song. You know, I got to look at the story behind it. I know it's about a woman. It's about a relationship and it went fatal. That's all I know for the most part. I just need to look at it.
Oh yeah.
But I heard that song on a record by Ray Brown called "The Way It Is." Back in I forget what year it was, but Milt Jackson was playing it with Ray Brown. And Monty Alexander was on piano, and my dad used to play this we used to play it together, you know, after our practice sessions. As a teenager, my dad and I, we would sometimes shoot pool together, so we would always throw on some recorders, and this was one of the recorders I heard with Milt Jackson and Ray Brown. I said, man, these guys are swinging. So fast forward to these days, and when I'm on the road with Kirsten, sometimes during our sound checks, we would play this song, you know, just for the sound check purposes, and I told myself, well, the next record, I'm going to record this. I was like, Kirsten is like Ray Brown's idol. Reverse that. Ray Brown is Kirsten's idol. And, you know, I was like, we got to record this. It'll be a great song to add, you know, just have some blues on there. You know, Frankie and Johnny. I know Elvis Presley sang it at 1.2. So.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and there's actually a movie, so you have to dig back into the Red Box and rent that movie from a long time ago because it will explain the whole story.
Gotcha.
And then, well, listen, I'm not going to keep you that much longer because I know that your barber is waiting for you. And
yes, indeed.
I know how their time schedules are. Where can we see you? Where can we find out more information about Warren Wolf? Tell us.
You can all go to my website, just www.warrenwolfmusic.com. And for all those people who are on social media, you can always follow me on Twitter. They have this new thing on Facebook where you can follow people now. You can follow people on Facebook. Sorry, you cannot friend request me at the moment because I'm at my max, but you can always send me a message. And as far as you can see me, I will be at the Strathmore Mansion this coming Friday night at 7:30 p.m. with my band Wolfpack. And we'll be up in there, you know, just tearing the house up.
Well, that is a great place to see you, Warren, because, first of all, it's in Bethesda. And that is a happening place to be. It's like little Washington, D.C. It's a great place as far as, you know, the acoustics are really, really good. And there's lots of great restaurants in the area. So I'll make sure that we keep up with folks in the next few days that they can have a chance to see you. Because, frankly, after this particular gig, with the way your schedule is going, it's going to be few and far between that we're going to be able to see you in this region. Hang on.
Yeah, it'll be a lot. You know, right after this SF Jazz tour, I'm coming home for about a week, and then I leave for the Middle East for about 3 weeks.
Get out, really?
Yeah, Jazz at Lincoln Center has this club over there called Jazz at Lincoln Center Doha. It's in Qatar. And I've been there once last year with pianist Aaron Deal. We spent 2 weeks over there. So now I'm going back with my own group and extend, you know, instead we'll be adding an extra week. So we'll have 3 weeks in Doha. So it should be a lot of fun.
This is so exciting. And, you know, I don't even know what to say, because this has been some kind of year for you. Best wishes on your new marriage. And I know that your wife is understanding about all of this.
She is. You know, the great thing about her, she's a classical ballerina. She's in the arts. We also went to high school together, so she totally understands. And, you know, as a musician, and that's a whole other conversation, but I can say this quickly. As a musician, male or female, it's hard to find somebody who will understand what we do and
that's right.
who can put up with our schedules and things like that. And I found a good one. She totally understands, and she supports me very much, and I love her to death. So.
I am so glad to hear that. Well, the best of everything to you. I know that I will see you relatively soon, and if not, we're going to be keeping an ear and an eye on what you're doing. So go and know that all of this is a big blessing, but I think you know that, Warren, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's
very
great.
Much.
Thank you so much for the time. This has been awesome. Go get your hair done.
Thank you. All right, Trish, I'll talk to you in a minute.
All right, Warren. See you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Warren Wolf, oh, my goodness. This gives me an opportunity now, because we knew that we had a certain amount of time, to play a couple of tunes. I'm so excited to do this. Warren Wolf, title track from Wolfgang on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. You'll enjoy this. Thank you. This is Hyper Jazz.
Bad as I. Oh, I'm gonna take you out. Ooh, I'm on fire. Sometimes it's like someone took a knife, baby, you dreamed of, and got a 6-inch valley through the middle of my soul. And I don't wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train rolling through the middle. Only you can cool my desire.
That woman is just 30 years old. Oh my gosh. That voice, that vibe of Sophie Millman is just so captivating. Had to do something special. It was Bruce Springsteen's birthday yesterday, 64 years young. Yay, Bruce! That is his song. And I am sure that he has heard Sophie do I'm on Fire. And I bet you his jaw dropped. Because she is just so naturally sexy and earthy, and you feel the song in a different way when a woman sings that song. Mercy. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that Sophie is Russian-born, Israeli-raised, where she was listening to a lot of jazz, and now she's living in Canada. This is from 2009, Take Love Easy, her third album. She has a later one out from 2011, but frankly, she doesn't do enough for some of us. I want to be able to hear her a lot. There's something so captivating about the way she conveys a song. Well, proof is in the pudding. She's a Juno Award winner, and she really doesn't have to do a whole lot. I think she married well. Her husband is a lawyer and has executive produced a few of the projects that she has done, but man, she's something special. And speaking of birthdays, there were a lot yesterday. Man, what was it about September 23rd? Holy cow. Whew. John Coltrane. Oh. Naima, song about his first wife. And I just almost emotionally collapse every time I hear that song. We have talked about this time and time again on Hybrid Jazz. There's something that happens when a man writes about a woman and calls the song by her name. It happens almost every single time. It just sort of transcends the rest of the songs on a CD. And this is the case with Giant Steps. Love Giant Steps. Who doesn't? Come on. If you say you don't ever speak to me again. From 1960, a beautiful piece of work. We are all agreed on that. But Naima is one of those songs that has stood the test of time, and it makes people speechless. Of course, because John Coltrane is playing sax, but also Wynton Kelly on piano, Jimmy Cobb on drums, Paul Chambers on bass also on this beautiful, beautiful work. Tommy Flanagan playing the piano on some other tracks, Art Taylor on drums on some alternative tracks, and Cedar Walton on piano on a take or two, the alternative ones, and Lex Humphreys, rather, on drums. Just so special, and here's how special. Miles Davis was the one who got his business manager to negotiate a deal for Coltrane. Now, you can imagine late 50s, early 60s, $7,000, an annual guarantee. That's crazy. That kind of money back then. This was John's fifth studio album on Atlantic. This is a first for that label. And was added by the Library of Congress to their National Recording Registry. Recorded 2 weeks after the wrap-up of Kind of Blue, just so you have a sense of history about John Coltrane and Giant Steps. We heard Warren Wolf, and it was John Coltrane's birthday yesterday. The whole point of me telling you about that was he was born on the 23rd of September, 1926. And, man, just left the planet too soon, but that's another story entirely. Warren Wolf from Wolfgang. We heard a couple of tracks, and isn't it just ear candy to hear this youngin' in his early 30s turn out this kind of work? And, of course, he's got beautiful help. Aaron Deal was on one piano, and Aaron Goldberg was on another. Chris Fun, yay, from the region, playing on several tracks. Billy Williams Jr. on drums on a few others. Lewis Nash, Christian McBride, Benny Green, Warren Wolf on vibes and marimba. And Daryl Tukes on vocals for a track. What you heard was actually both Warren Wolf compositions. You heard the title track, Wolfgang, and then a beautiful piece called Sunrise. Oh, my gosh. And before the end of the show, we're going to be hearing another. One of the things I want to make mention about Warren Wolf and how astounding a talent he is. He, after 8 years or so at Peabody, went to Berkeley, Massachusetts, as many of our friends have done, and was actually a staple at Wally's Cafe, a most respected venue in the Boston area, and co-led a band there. He was actually on drums. Then he became, in September of 2003, an instructor at Berkeley and a multi-instrumentation instructor. So this is the kind of guy that you want around all the time, because he was doing private instruction on drums and vibraphone and piano. He's just a really rare talent and one of those down-to-earth guys that you can have a conversation with, as was evidenced by our time together. So thank you, Warren. I hope somehow, some way, that you have a way to be listening as you're getting your hair did at the barbershop. so funny. He's in the car doing the interview, doing hand gestures back and forth to the barber who's waiting on him, looking at this watch. Oh, that's funny. Listen, we're going to play some more local, regional folks because they're just so freaking talented. And actually, there's a thread. You're going to be hearing in the show Jeff Antoniak, Fred Hughes, and Amy Shook right now, and they all have this tie to a very special event coming up. And then Jeff has his own event, which is exciting as all get out. I can't begin to tell you how these three that we've just mentioned, and Warren as well, love to be able to get someone by the hand who's an artist and bring them up, bring them into the circle so that they can partake in this beautiful career situation that all of these folks have going on. Beautiful. We go back to one of our favorites now, Amy Shook on upright bass. This is from the Nothing to Do CD with Felicia Carter. Broken Teeth Blues, Eleanor's Lament on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. we went there too. I wish I'd never laid my eyes on you. Thank you.
this is Hybrid Jazz.
Dream, not always what you seem, and though my heart may break when I awake, let it be so. I only know Ruby is you. They say, Ruby, you're like a song. You just don't know right from wrong. And in your eyes I see heartaches for me. Right from the start, who stole my heart? Ruby, it's you. I hear your voice, and I must come to you. I have no choice, so what else can I do? They say, Ruby, you're like a flame. Into my life you came. And though I should be well, still I just don't care. You thrill me so, I only know. Flame into my life you came, and though I should be well, still I don't care. You thrill me so, I only know.
When you hear something like that, especially if you are of a certain age, and songs like that were part of your childhood, they never go away. That's one of the most haunting songs ever. The great Ray Charles and Ruby from circa 1960 or thereabouts. Of course, since we're mentioning September 23rd, we have to include Ray Charles as far as the birthday babies are concerned. I know it's a day late, but it's okay. We did John Coltrane. We mentioned Bruce Springsteen. Now it's Ray Charles, born on of September 1930 and passed away in 2004 in June. Woo, we were sad to see Ray Charles go. Let me tell you something. If you want to get something really extraordinary and please don't smack me for this. You know that the holidays are coming up. Just so you can be thinking ahead of time about what you'd like so you can save your pennies, if you know somebody who loves Ray Charles, the definitive Ray Charles collection was released on the 16th of October, my birthday, back in 2001. 46 tracks from both Atlantic and ABC Paramount labels. You've got some beautiful work there, and it all joined forces, all that tunage through the years, to result in this. I just learned this morning. Are you ready? Sit down for this. Ray must have gotten an indication that he was going to be not long for this world. He, despite the fact that we're all human and we all make mistakes in our lives, he had some business acumen through the years. Now, he passed away in 2004. In 2002, he gathered 10 of his children. Two didn't show up. He gathered his children at a lunch, and he handed them a piece, $1 million. That is certified. The two that didn't come to the lunch that day didn't get it. Whoa, I read that and went, wow, all throughout the house. I think you could hear the neighbors, I'm sure, were hearing me, because I thought that was amazing to be able to do that and not have anybody have to handle business after the fact. You just got it, no questions asked. Don't bother me anymore. Here is your gift for being my child. Now, see ya. No fighting after I go. I love it. EC3, Ernest Coleman, if you will, but he much prefers EC3, from It's All About the Rhythm, a song called Simone, written by Frank Foster, the great tenor and soprano saxophonist, flautist, composer, and arranger, who also had a birthday yesterday, born 9/23/1928, and passed away in 2011, just a couple of years ago. Beautiful song. And on that song, by the way, you need to know that it was EC3 on drums and a wonderful bassist who we've had on the show, Michael Bowie, and also Janelle Gill on piano. Now, put a bookmark in that thought, because there's something that is going to connect Janelle Gill to what we're about to say. You should know about EC3 that he's going to have a beautiful show happening at Germano's Trattoria in Little Italy in Baltimore on October 4th. Micah Chevalier will be part of this. Beautiful songstress, excellent band. And we're going to attempt to do, for the first time, a hybrid jazz radio show. We're going to do it as people are filtering in so we can talk to them, so we can fill the seats. You're going to have to be on your own as far as when the music starts, because we actually want you to be there. If we play maybe 15, 20 minutes of the music, that will be cool. But the idea is to make sure that you know about Germano's, and how beautiful a room it is, very intimate. And this show featuring the people in this band, the last time that EC played there, he actually had the owner of the club tell him that he has never seen a show like this. That's how good this particular act is. And you figure, of course, that EC3 was born in Italy, has traveled the world, based in Las Vegas, has done a few shows in Vegas, so he knows how to do all sorts of things to entice you to get involved, and he knows jazz. So there's my pitch for EC3. Simone, the name of the song, and Amy Shook, the name of the bassist that you heard to start the set, Broken Teeth Blues, with Felicia Carter from Amy and Felicia's Nothing to Do CD back a few years ago. AmyShook.com has all the particulars, but you need to know that she's going to be in Annapolis this week. She's going to play at Blues Alley. She will be playing at the Westminster Presbyterian Church. This will be on October 4th with Janelle Gill, who you just heard on EC3 CD, and Claire Daly on baritone sax, who will be part of this Baltimore Jazz Education Project event happening on the 5th of October. We just had Greg Tompkins talk about that the other day with Carl Filippiak. Man, this town is jumping. So is D.C. Very exciting news. And then Amy will be part of the Paul Carr Quartet that will be at St. Michael's Jazz Festival. Let me just say a little pitch for St. Michael's. This is one of those oases in Maryland. Honest to God, if you go to St. Michael's, you will fall in love. The restaurants are fabulous. The music is fabulous. The shops, the houses. There's water so you can park your boat. Oh, it's like the ultimate honeymoon place. No kidding. Even when it's snowing there, it's just blissful. This is going to be happening in October. We'll be telling you more about that. But you heard Broken Teeth Blues by Amy and Bob Buda and Frank Russo. Excellent, excellent talent. And now we turn our attention to Jeff Antoniuk and the Jazz Update. One of those cats who also likes to lend his time to many students. One of the ultimates on saxophone. He wrote the song from Brotherhood, Global Village, on Hybrid Jazz. Woo! Thank you. mind if there was another 5 minutes of that song, honestly. Oh, my gosh. So beautiful. We all needed it in the chat room so badly. Griselda and Beach and Andrea and Matt and our guests back and forth. Rhonda, thanks for listening today. You're the biggest part of me from 1980. That, ladies and gentlemen, was what you would call the soul of cool from California, or the cool of soul, if you prefer. David Pack's voice makes all the difference in the world. It doesn't matter that Ambrosia may or may not be touring. If he's not a part of it, it's not Ambrosia, okay? Woo! From 180, back in the beginning of a decade, with David Joe Puerta, who was also one of the original members of Bruce Hornsby and The Range, by the way. This is Joe going back. Christopher North, Burley Drummond, who was actually the drummer. Hi, Burley Drummond here. I do drums. Such a big song. Oh, my gosh. And they wanted to call themselves Ambrosia because it would reflect the textures and colors, the different kinds of variations on a theme that they wanted to incorporate in their music. And that was the absolute pinnacle right there. Listen, keep your fingers crossed, because it is a goal to have David Pack on this show. He was doing a lot last year. I don't see a lot happening on davidpack.com, but I have been in touch with his wife, and I'm hoping that maybe he probably is getting immersed in Ron Warren's church, a big, big church. David's been with Ron now for a while, making sure spiritual matters were handled. He went through a metamorphosis, David Pack did, through the years, and I would love to talk to him about spiritual things and musical things and jazz and the old days and what he thinks the new days would be. Wouldn't that be fun? Man, he has seen a lot in his time in the music business. Whoo, sweating thinking about that. Joe Sample from 1995, especially for my sister friend in Texas. Hippies on the Corner from Old Places, Old Faces. Yeah. Jay Anderson. Ralph was in this. Ralph Penland, yeah. And Charles Lloyd, ooh, on saxophone for a few tracks on that particular CD. And I wanted to play another track from Joe Sample. We have played them, for sure, recently. Let me just say this. If you have the opportunity to see the Creole Joe Band, please do. Micah and Joy and Anita and I had an absolute blast. There was such love on that stage, and Nick Sample and I have just become friends, and he knows that I'm telling the truth because he feels it himself. Nick playing bass for his dad, and Ray Parker Jr., who is a bad, bad boy. He is, and I loved every minute of it. So did every lady in the room. Also, Raymond and Alex and Erica, what a voice Erica has. Oh, God, she did this song called Sugar on the Floor. That's the audition song that she did when Joe Sample, spending a lot of his own money, was interviewing female singers for the Creole Joe Band. When she did that song, he about dropped, and it takes a lot for Joe Sample to get excited because he has seen it all, too. She is just amazing. June on guitar, June Yamaguchi, we're talking about. This was a delightful little League of Nations on the stage that night. Also, C.J. Chenier and Skip. It was a lot of people on the stage, and each one was full of love for Joe and this dream coming true for him. To see and hear Zydeco and Creole folk music, oh, my God, it was bliss. And then from Ram's Head, they went to the Birchmere, and I heard the audience was great for them there, too. So I'm really happy about it. Jeff Antoniak and the Jazz Update from Brotherhood, a song that Jeff wrote called Global Village. He also tackles Billy Strayhorn and Cole Porter and Thelonious Monk on this particular CD out not that long ago. Jeff is going to be at Andy Music on the 12th of October. He's going to be doing the works of Thelonious Monk and Charles Mingus and John Coltrane. Interesting that Thelonious Monk's birthday is the 10th of October, so there will be a special vibe in the air that night. And then also, Jeff does in D.C. twice monthly jazz master classes, along with, ladies and gentlemen, some other folks that we know. He does them in D.C. and also in Annapolis. And I think that the website is right on here. Yes, Jeff Antoniuk, antoniuk.com, and find out more about him. Props going out to Tom Baldwin on bass, Tony Martucci on drums, Wade Beach on piano, and Jeff on tenor and soprano saxophone. We love the local and regional folks. Oh, do we ever. Whew, and we're going to be hearing more from them in the weeks and days to come, especially since, we'll say it again and then we'll stop, okay? The holidays are just about upon us. I had to. And look, I am in no better shape than anybody else financially, but it's just one of those situations. We're seeing a bunch of commercials now, not even for Halloween, but for Christmas. So I might as well throw my hat into the ring, too. Fred Hughes is another one of those guys. Telling you what, consummate piano player. We're going to be hearing Les McCann in a few short songs. Also, something from Foreplay and something from Andrew New and Larry Carlton, because we have time to do all of this today. But I wanted to make sure you knew that Fred Hughes, who we had on the show, at this point, didn't we have everybody? He is going to be part and parcel responsible for who's playing at the St. Michael's Jazz Festival that we just talked about. So, it just behooves me to make sure you hear this song. Now, the song is called, actually, Song for TH. It was not written about yours truly, although I could lie. Beautiful, beautiful album, In the Mist. This is Fred Hughes and Company and Song for TH.
is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what. Slaughterhouses are killing hogs. Twisted children are killing folks. Poor dumb rednecks rolling logs. Tired old ladies kissing dogs. I hate the human love of that stinking mud. I can't use it. Trying to make it real compared to what. Come on, baby. Just what it's for. Nobody gives us a rhyme or reason. Half of one doubt, they call it treason. We're chicken feathers all the way out wonder. God damn it, I'm trying to make it real compared to what. Sleep and nod, trying to duck the wrath of God. Preachers filling us with fright. They all trying to teach us what they think is right. They really got to be some kind of nut. I can't use it. Trying to make it real compared to what. God, and where's my money? Unreal values, a crass distortion. Unwed mothers need abortion. Kind of brings to my old young King Tut. He did it now. Try to make it real compared to what. Thank you.
Benny Bailey, Eddie Harris.
Man, isn't that fun? Woo! 8.5 minutes, actually a little bit longer, compared to what? Les McCann, Eddie Harris, Benny Bailey, Donald Dean, Leroy Vinegar, Swiss Movement, Montreux Jazz Festival, circa 1969. Mercy. Oh, it's just so good. And I was thinking of Les McCann because you're probably going to recognize what I'm going to say. It was his birthday yesterday, too. And bless his heart, he's still with us. He turned 78 yesterday, Les McCann did. Still doing a bit of some touring. Yes, he is. Not distances from what I understand, but just anxious to make sure that the music still gets out there. And if you didn't know this about Les McCann, he was the first jazz musician to include electric piano, clavinet, and synthesizer. Actually, a lot of what Les McCann did was a precursor to what Stevie Wonder did, immersing the notion, and it was kind of radical for the time, of soul being incorporated with jazz. And how good of a job did he do? Whew. Compared to what? Interesting story, because first of all, Les McCann discovered Roberta Flack. This is going back in the 60s now. So on her first album, 1969, it was called First Take. She had a variation of that song compared to what? Les McCann incorporated it on the Swiss Movement package. Eugene McDaniels, though, wrote the song. And if you go back far and away, back in the late 50s, early 60s, there was a kind of sound that people loved so much. Now, I remember it was actually played on the radio quite a bit, a song called 100 Pounds of Clay. That was Gene McDaniels. And he also wrote Feel Like Making Love. And then at the opposite end of the spectrum, he wrote Compared to What? Woo! And we lost him a couple of years ago. Was it actually a couple of years? Not that long ago, and it took everybody by surprise. He was one of those guys, a beloved character, and he became a hermit of sorts. So not everybody knew that he had passed away as quickly as those folks who keep people around him. Just a shame to lose folks unexpectedly. I mean, everybody is going to pass from this earth anyway, but when people go and it's a blink of an eye, it's just a lifelong shock. Les McCann, thank God he is still with us. Compared to what? Chrissy Cromwell and the Evolution Band, Corinthia Cromwell, if you please, from Peace of Mind, Outside the Lines, and Groove Stew. And I see that Fred Hughes is in the chat room. Fred, you just missed your song from your wonderful CD that you gave me not that long ago. I guess in thinking about it, it's been a while. But In the Mist is one of those beautiful pieces of work where you can get to hear Fred Hughes playing piano, and you can almost see him smiling. I had a chance to see Fred in Annapolis, and this is going back several months, but he just enjoys playing so much. And as an audience member, doesn't that just fill you with delight? Because sometimes you see people on stage that just get mad, that just seem to be unhappy, and you want to say, why are you up there? I'm coming in here trying to get stuff off my mind, and all I want is for me to understand that you take great delight in doing what you do. Fred is that kind of pianist. It's just, he's wonderful. And then on top of that, he has fun. And it's as simple as that. And if you get a chance to, please do this. St. Michael's Jazz Festival.com has the ammunition you need, if you will, to learn everything about who's going to be playing. Fred Hughes and company will be there. Just a beautiful lineup. Paul Carr on saxophone. Amy Shook is going to be there. Joanna Pascal is going to be there. Now, Joanna is one of those singers. She's a Philadelphia girl, so I'm not going to be objective about her. She is dripping with such talent that you feel like no matter where you're from, you're home. Saw her at a Christmas concert with Tim Warfield at Marianne and Howard's home, Jazzway 2004, last Christmas season. It was just stupendous. Can't say enough. So you can imagine that piano that you heard a little while ago, Fred and Amy and Frank Russo and Paul Carr and Joanna Pascal. The festival is going to be the 11th of October through the 13th. And again, stmichaelsjazzfestival.com has more information. And Fred, I know it's not written about me, but thank you for Song for TH. Oh, that's such fun to play. I love that song. This is a gentleman. We're going to get a little global right now. I know we played Jeff Antoniak a little while ago, Global Village. Jeff will be part of the St. Michael's Jazz Festival, too, just so you know. And he's going to be conducting workshops. I do. And, again, St. Michael's is one of those places you don't want to ever miss. If you have a bucket list, many people do, make the trip to St. Michael's because it's one of those places that's unforgettable. It's kind of difficult to explain. If you like the word quaint and all that that means, it's the place for you. The food is just incredible no matter where you go. So keep that in mind. I have to thank my friend Kim, who is involved in promotions in Florida, for passing along Reboim, who is, another multi-instrumentalist who, when you go to his website, has a description of what he does. Jazzy African Instrumental Fusion. He is the son of a preacher, a Cameroonian, born and raised, and he's also a sound engineer, sax, guitar, piano. Fell in love with this song from a couple of CDs that were given to me. This is from 2002. It's Reboim and Keep My Cow. That's the name of the song from the CD called Bridge on Hybrid Jazz. I think you'll enjoy this. Thank you.
adiós a duele. Al despertar, su piel ancla mi bien, que el destino arribó.
So beautiful. Woof. Mercy sakes alive. You know what a fan this particular person is of Luis Munoz, originally from Costa Rica, now makes his home in Santa Barbara, and so does the lady that he likes to work with. She has been on three of his CDs. Her name is Teca Pentarish. And it's I pronounce it as if it's a French pronunciation, and I'm not sure what all she has in the way of lineage, but she is originally from Brazil. So this voice is just so compelling because she immersed herself in all of that Brazilian wonder when she was growing up and also developed a love for American jazz. So you can hear this deeply rooted, passionate voice on so much of Luis's work, but Luz, L-U-Z, is the particular project, if you will, where you can hear that track, a song that was written for Luis's son, Adam, a coming-of-age song. Just gorgeous. Woo! Teka has a newer CD, actually, called So Many Stars, and it's just developing a hunger to try to find out even more information about her, because Luis surrounds himself with all of these exceptional musicians, and then when he calls a vocalist into play, it's just absolutely gorgeous. Luz, the name of the CD, L-U-Z, of course that means light. We heard Foreplay, not necessarily a track that you would identify with the group Foreplay, a Bob James song, Sugoi, which is all about Japanese culture. He has a great love for the Japanese people. They have been very, very good to him. Just reminiscent a little bit of the kind of work he did with Earl Klugh on One on One back so many years ago now. And I play that not only because we heard a little bit of Brazil and Costa Rica and then a little bit of Japan, and then we heard with Riboim, a little bit of Africa in that mix. But I wanted to play that Foreplay song just so you could get ready for Chuck Loeb, who will be with us on Thursday right here on Hybrid Jazz. Yeah, pretty excited about that, because the last time that he was with us, it was the only time where there was a trip in the system, what would normally be a 30-minute or 45-minute or an hour show, turned into 15. Oh, it was crazy. So keep your fingers crossed that all will go well. Blog Talk was nice enough to send me a memo just a few minutes ago that said they're experiencing some streaming issues. So for the remainder of this show, hopefully that won't affect us. We did hear, and thank you once again, Kim G, Riboim, and that was a song from 2002's Bridge album, and the song title is just one of those titles where you go, come on, but it is true. Keep My Cow. Very interesting guy, multi-instrumentalist, son of a preacher, I think one of eight children, and he's trying to sort of branch out in the way of his audience, and we're happy to oblige, especially when there are songs like that. There's another one we want to get to without too much time elapsing in the next few weeks on Hybrid Jazz, just so we keep your name in front of him. It's actually spelled R-I-B-O-U-E-M, Riboim. Now, we've got some time for more music, and we're going to do it. Another birthday yesterday. Yes. Do you think I'm going to forget my Philly friend, Andrew New? No, we are not going to forget him, especially when it's just something as exhilarating as this new CD of his, Everything Happens for a Reason. If you have not heard him do this take on Take 5, your ears will thank you. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy continues. It's been fun. We'll be right back. Well, okay. We're having some technical difficulties, I see. Ah, okay. Well, at least it's starting toward the end of the show. Is anybody in the chat room, if you're hearing that and I'm not, raise your hand, because it's playing, but you're not hearing it. So let's try something else. Let's see if we can do this. And if there's another song that plays on top of something that is already playing, you let me know. Wait, let's see if this works. Yeah. Thank you. delightful, de lovely. Something else from Warren Wolf's Wolfgang CD, Settembro. And that's one of those songs he wanted to include. He did not write the song. The song was written by Ivan Linz and Gilson Perenzetta. And there's another song that Warren did not write that you need to know about on the CD, Frankie and Johnny. Oh, and one that I'll have to say for another occasion, Variations sur le Carnaval de Venise, written by Jean-Baptiste Alban. That's on the CD as well. He wanted to throw some people off because, look, in the Baltimore area, actually the greater extended area, folks know Warren Wolf as this guy who really has some jazz chops. They don't necessarily take into consideration the long years he spent in classical training. So to see some of these cats who are like, yeah, what's up, dog? To hear what all he is capable of with that vibraphone on his new CD is just something else entirely. It's just, I love it. It's so heartwarming to me because he gets a kick out of it too, turning the tables on many people that he and I mutually know. Woo! Love it. Yeah, we heard from Larry Carlton. Yes, we did. Ugh, smiles and smiles to go. We needed to hear that song. 1986 from Alone, But Never Alone. And actually, I heard a critic describe the music on this particular project as meat and potatoes smooth jazz, which means that the reviewer didn't necessarily have a lot of tolerance for smooth jazz, but if you are going to try to put Larry Carlton in that box, then know that this was not the usual. And it's not just full of that rich guitar that he does so well. And actually pretty spiritually inclined, if you look at this CD in a couple of different ways. And that's maybe because Larry has been married for such a long time to the exquisite, beautiful inside and out, Michelle Pilar, who is a formidable contemporary gospel singer. And she has some beautiful things that she says on her Facebook page. If you ever get a chance to look, she's just real true to walk in what she's talking. Beautiful. Actually, you might have seen Larry Carlton's son, Travis, out and about playing bass. Saw him when Larry played the Hamilton in D.C. Travis was something else on that bass. It was just great. And I did not know this. You might not know either. But you remember the song A Thousand Miles by Vanessa Carlton? That is his niece. I did not know that until fairly recently. So if you go to LarryCarlton.com, you will hear of a wonderful effort that he is doing. He is doing a project called Give Back Japan to benefit the Red Cross. So if you have a mind to, if you would like to get involved, you go to LarryCarlton.com and find out more about it. Andrew New, Everything Happens for a Reason, Take 5. He redid it, and Jeff Lorber and Brian Bromberg and Alex Acuna were helping out on that. Mm-hmm. Andrew, birthday boy from yesterday, is going to be at the Woodminster Amphitheater. That's going to be on the 29th in Oakland, California. And thereafter, he is going to go with Bobby Caldwell to Japan. Yeah. For an extended little stay. And then they're coming back, and at the first of the year, they're playing New York and Las Vegas. Life is good for Andrew New. Thanks again to Warren Wolf for being here. Hope the barber did a good job, honey. Thanks again to Griselda and Beej and Matt. And Andrea was here for a while, and Fred Hughes. Fred Hughes? Yes. St. Michael's Jazz Festival.com has information about this wonderful get together they're having the early to the mid part of October in a beautiful place a paradise for many of us in Maryland and beyond, St. Michael's. A great place to hear jazz. And we'll have more about that in the days to come. Don't forget, on Thursday, Chuck Loeb will be here. So psyched about that. And October is looking sweet. As far as artists are concerned, we've got it halfway booked. So excited about that. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Take care of yourself. And we'll see you in a couple of days. Make sure you listen to the archives. It's been fun.